Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easiest for us to collect. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, it's now June. I don't know how many we're doing. We've definitely done more than a year now.
I hope so.
Yeah,
because it feels like it.
We were ruminating on that a few shows ago. But definitely we're doing... This is definitely volume two of Connecting Consciousness. And so good afternoon. How are you this week and this month? Everybody was missing you last week because they thought, oh, it's going to be every 2 weeks. But no, because some months have five Sundays. So that's why it's the first and third Sunday, but not every two Sundays. So it's a slightly Gregorian mess up there. But that, you know, blame Pope Gregory for that.
Right. Okay. Pope, another Pope.
Yeah. Blame the Pope.
Right. Yeah, well, it's in a domestic way, it's been a challenge because my exhaust of my car sort of fell off and it was quite difficult to get that sorted, and that impacted on me traveling around. I did want to go somewhere and I wasn't able to. On the world stage, it'd just be interesting that India as an industrial nation grew something like 9% last year, and it's the fastest growing country in the world and is already on the cusp of outstripping China. And that's very interesting because China has literally poisoned its own country. You know, they are having to ship in water from Canada because they've got so little good drinking water. They've put so many chemicals, people don't realize this, into their water. They're actually having to bring water in from Canada. There are toxic waste sites. It's going to become hugely expensive to live in China simply because the authorities are having to, you know, try to minimize all this horrible mess. So India is the country to watch. And I was having a discussion with Wynn this morning, and this came up. And I think the view we had was that India would be the powerhouse, and Russia would be, you know, the one playing the political games, if you like. So as we see China beginning to stagnate, we'll see India developing. And remember, India is part of the group for the gold currency. So there's a lot to play out there. That leads me on to the situation globally. And we did have a quick brief talk about this, JP, before we went live tonight. I see this as the lull before the storm. There are many, many psychic and spiritual people who sort of going around shaking their heads quite rightly and saying, can't put my finger on this, but this is, you know, there's something not right. There's nothing obvious, but it's just like the tension. They can just feel there's a tension in the air. And many people are emotionally or energetically getting their house in order. So this is the lull before the storm. On the positive side, that means they don't have anything worryingly or warningly to give people a warning about. That's the positive side. But of course, on the challenging side, it means that things are going to be stored up towards the back end of the year. It's still, if there was, from the American point of view, if there was an election for president now, Hillary Clinton would win it. That's still what the energies are coming back with. But Donald Trump is gaining all the time. And it is important for the world because it's not about which president, in terms of him or herself wins, but which faction behind that president wins. That's the key, because there are two separate factions, one supporting Clinton, one supporting Trump, and depending on who is elected, and it may well be a rigged vote, depending on whom is elected, that will dictate basically which faction and where the New World Order, as itself styles itself, where that will go. And one of the main reasons that the American system never updated their punching and counting machines was because they are so easy to rig. Excuse me. You know, if you think that the largest military spending economy in the world would be able to update its voting counting machines if they really wanted to. On the other side, on a personal side, in terms of individuals, for the Americans, European football, world football, is governed by FIFA. And the head of that was a guy called Seb Blatter. That's his name, Seb Blatter. And I don't normally go into details like this, but this is so awful that it needs to go out. The man is being charged with defrauding world football to the tune of $55 million. How can one man, you know, it's alleged, how can one man possibly steal $55 million? And, you know, there are children, not just in Africa, but in many other countries of the world, who are dying because a mosquito's bitten them, and for the want of £2 or $4, you know, they can't get the treatment to make them better. Yet here we have a man who is accused of stealing $55 million. This is the hypocrisy of the, not the planet, but the people who make the rules. So we've got, fortunately this month, nothing really bad to report in terms of overall situation. But there are lots of horror stories coming out individually, which it's good to hear them, and it's good you know, talk to others and try and let people know. Connecting Consciousness, I had to recently close the website down because somebody decided to put a mutilated body part of a zebra, and this is not the first time. Now, that is satanic. People who post mutilated pictures of dead animals onto any website are either completely and utterly crazy or mad, or are satanic. So the reason I had to close the site down was because it had been infiltrated by some really undesirable people. What I'm going to do is have a completely dedicated forum set up in its place, and only people who have had a consultation with me will be invited to go on there. That way I keep the family strong. You know, the people who are causing problems are, by and large, people who I've never even met before. So that's what's happening with Connecting Consciousness. We're going to have some more group and worldwide meditations coming up. I have identified two or three very worthwhile issues. And some of the Connecting Consciousness groups in different countries are forging ahead and creating healing groups, remote viewing groups, and that's very exciting. So positive from the Connecting Consciousness family, not so positive that people wish to try and cause problems. So there we are. That's a quick update. Thank you, JP.
Okay, good. Thank you. A quick word is that we've also we noticed that there are lots of free-floating people, so we have directed them to the Wolf Spirit Forum, which is a new facility that we're building up. Vanessa M in the chat room is administrating it, and it's going from strength to strength. So it's a place where people can go and kind of chat and find answers to questions if there's nobody live in the chat room, you know. So there we go. Now we've got a lovely worldwide audience there. I sent you the little map with all little people listening. Yep. So hello Alaska. You know, I'm pretty impressed Alaska's online here. So and we got all over Europe, and where have we got there's down in Qatar. So there's Bahrain. Oh, that's not all right. So that's Bahrain, not Qatar. And Europe is just bubbling there. It's just lovely. So welcome, everybody, to Wolf Spirit Radio. We do have other programs as well for the rest of the week. So do stick around or come back and see what's going on. We've got some good stuff all day, every day. So, Simon, shall we enter into the large chamber that has all these questions written?
Oh, you go first.
Okay, so this is a question from Mona. This is Latin American Mona, not Mona Radler, we know. Dear Simon Parks, can you please tell me about the huge amount of children removal in the United States, UK, Norway, Finland, Sweden, France, the Netherlands, and so on? Is it really for the good of the children, or is there something else to it? Is something being done to them? Because I refuse to believe that child protective services would really care about the children. I would greatly appreciate your response. Sincerely, greetings from Latin America. Mona.
Right. Do you think that the...
Let's dive in with a really easy question, huh?
Yeah. Do you think Mona's asking about missing children or children that are taken away by social services?
I think she's talking about the children taken away by social services. The other missing children is another...
Okay.
Big issue, isn't it?
I just wanted to be clear. Well, okay. Right. What happens, Mona, is that in the English-speaking countries, generally, rules are very similar, whether it's Canada, Australia, Britain, or North America, or New Zealand. The system creates what it considers to be the right format, the right way of doing something. And when a parent or parents don't follow that format, then the system can, under the argument of child protection, can come in. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, you live in a part of Norway or Australia, let's say that the local government want to inoculate your child. Well, if you refuse that inoculation, then one of the ways that the system can start to put pressure on you is to send the equivalent of social services in, saying that, you know, you're not looking after your child because you won't let it be inoculated. So let's say that's one way. Another way might be that if you have very strong views, you think that 9/11, as they say, was an inside job, or you go onto YouTube and you talk about such things, then it's highly likely that one of the ways they could affect you if you have children is to send social services in to say that you've lost your mind, you're not a fit parent to do it. Now, there are plenty of cases where good, decent, hard-working social workers and child protection officers go in and do a fantastic job because there are abusive parents. And, you know, those individuals have to be protected. Those children have to be protected. But what I'm saying is that it's a mechanism for the state or the system to start to put pressure on people. And that is something that's going to become more and more in line unless the system changes within the next 2 years. So what I would say is, on a general level, When child protection was set up, it was set up to stop physical and emotional abuse. But the system, of course, sees it as a tool and will and does use it to put pressure on parents that it thinks are not playing the rules that someone wrote in an ivory tower 50 stories up in the sky who's probably not even a parent and has no idea about it. So it's a good question, and I made the distinction between that and what we call the missing children. So thank you, Mona.
Yes. And I can't remember the name of there's a special book that has all the diseases in it, and there's a new disease called alternative reality disorder, which I made a little jingle.
Alternative reality syndrome.
And I made a website called alternativerealitydisorder.com, which we're currently posting Benjamin Fulford reports on. But it's just another our little branches. We have the ODD collective. We now have the alternative reality disorder people. So welcome home, everybody. So moving on to our very own Craig. Craig is now a very regular listener, even throughout the night, and he lives in Newcastle. And he's asking, Simon Parks, did the Nephilim alien giants build the pyramids? And why are the Illuminati trying to cover up their existence?
Right, interesting. I don't believe they built them, but I believe they had a hand in the construction. So I wouldn't say that they were responsible for the concept and the design, but they would have had a hand in the creation of the decision to build them. Why did the Illuminati try and cover them up? Because they are an offshoot or a branch of the elite that the current ruling elite distancing themselves from. If you think of a railroad or a railway line and it forks, it has points, a junction, and it forks off. Well, the ruling elite in the English-speaking world and in some of the non-English-speaking world could trace a line back here, but they've actually diverged. And so they don't want to remind themselves of a group that contained, you see that the group in question contained a great mix, not just genetically, but energetically. And the ruling elite want to see themselves as very pure. The ruling elite today wish to see themselves as biologically pure and genetically pure. And if you were to trace back to the Nephilim and some of the other groups, you would see that they were a complete hodgepodge, a real mix, which actually was a strength in the sense that when somebody or something has a diverse makeup, then it's likely to be able to evolve or survive change much better than something that's just made one level. So the reason they're hiding it is because they don't wish to be associated with that particular group. The group in question, I do not believe, built those pyramids, but I think that it was instrumental in the conception of needing a device of that type, the main pyramid. So I hope that helps, Craig. I hope that's a good answer for you. Thank you for listening.
Excellent, yes. A device of that type. Do you want to just expand on that little phrase there?
No. We'll wait till someone asks a question.
Okay, then. There you go. We've opened up another domain of knowing because Simon referred to the pyramid as a device. Not a building, not a tomb, but a device, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, we'll move on. From Sherine Chagnon, who actually phoned in just before the show. Hi, JP and Simon. One yes, no question, and one question a little longer regarding the Bible. She's slipping one in there. So did Mary Magdalene author the Gospel according to John, and what is the true story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Thank you so much for the show.
Right, could you just repeat the first question, please, JP?
Mary Magdalene author the Gospel according to John?
Right. Hello, Chirin. Lovely to hear. And you did finally get a question into JP, right? Well done. The answer is yes. The reason I'm delaying or struggling here is because it's not straightforward. So the overall answer would be yes. The reality is that it was more dictated. In other words, when we think of the traditional sense of an author, then an author is he or she who writes a book. But in that particular gospel or that particular element, it's somebody recounting their side of the story and somebody else penning it down. So Mary Magdalene recounted, this is to my knowledge, my understanding, Mary Magdalene recounted her side of the story. However, the problem we have is that between her version and what we buy in the Bible bookshops today has been completely and utterly changed, and the relationship between Mary Magdalene and Jesus has been completely removed from the text. So when you read it, you don't get any sense of the close emotional bond between them. So she's right on that one. The true of Sodom and Gomorrah, some people say that it's allegorical. However, there is very strong evidence of a nuclear blast in more than one place on this planet, at least 4,000 years old. And of course, Lot was turned, was it Lot's wife who was turned to a pillar of salt? Just checking now. Yes, it was Lot's wife who was turned to a pillar of salt. And that is a very good example of someone caught in the blast from a high-yield weapon where the, basically, when the tragic deaths at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where you just saw outlines of people in white dust, which is the salts of the body that's remained. Well, I believe that that is what they're referring to. So this was real places that I believe were destroyed. I don't believe it was God's vengeance, as in a chap throwing thunderbolts down, but I do believe that the self-styled reptilian god had a war and did a first strike and took out two cities that had got lost from his control. So that's my answer there, Chirin. Thank you for your questions.
All right. So they blamed it on homosexuality, but it was actually losing the reptilian control of the place. Interesting.
Yes. Humanity is wont to reproduce like rabbits, and why not? And there came a point when there just wasn't enough overlords. And in some cities, they locked it down and they had it working. And in other cities, they lost control of it. And then the cities sort of elected their own. They depose who was the Anunnaki ruler and his small bodyguard group, and then they would take over. And these were usually merchants or, you know, adventurers. And the reptilian command doesn't really do diplomacy very well. And they just thought, right, well, we'll just wipe that off the map. And that's what they did.
The reptilian diplomacy. Let's wipe them off the map. There we go.
Well, okay. That's accurate.
This just about sums it up, does it? Right, okay. Oh, I shouldn't laugh.
Well, that's made you laugh. That's good.
Yeah, I shouldn't laugh, but it's like, it's like, yeah, it's a kind of almost cartoon-like thing. Okay, back to seriousness. And, right, so this is an interesting question. This is from Kuki. KukiNet. Anyway. Hello, JP. I'm interested in your personal opinion of artificial insemination with an egg donation from an anonymous donor. Do you think this is, quote, against nature? For my girlfriend me, it's the last chance to have a baby, but I'm afraid this could be a bad start for a new life. I cannot really describe what this fear is about. Maybe there is a risk for a pre-birth trauma or some kind of energy lack when the insemination happens outside of the body in a clinical situation with no real love involved. It somehow feels not right. So, your personal opinion of AI, artificial insemination, so a different kind of AI.
Right. The most beautiful thing on this planet is bringing forth life. Let me make that clear. If for whatever reason a couple who love each other cannot have a child through the standard method, then other methods should be followed. I don't see anything wrong in that. The question is a very intelligent question. It's asking about love, actually. And I think you shouldn't worry, because if you want the child so much, it doesn't actually matter, because the love that you are projecting, the love that you will give, is so strong that is what will bring the child into to the world. Never mind the physical sperm and egg. It is the energy of your wishes to create life and to be a family. So please have no fear. That love is strong enough to overcome anything else. That's my answer.
Interesting. So, here's, meanwhile, from one end of life to the other, from Ashley. Once everything hits the fan, do we have to worry about FEMA or any other group raiding homes in order to take our food and water in order to redistribute it to the public? If so, does this apply to opened food and less essential things like clothing and bedding? What property will we be left with if the goal is to round us all up and move into government housing? What happens to our pets?
Right. It's a good question, except we're just going to lose one word, the word of fear. No, you don't have any fear, because that's exactly what they want you to have, Ashley. So don't have any fear. They won't actually be raiding your house for food and water, because they've got plenty of that stored up. What they'll be doing, if they get away with it, they'll have a long list of people who they wish to arrest. And, you know, 2 years ago, FEMA guards, I won't call them troops because they don't deserve that title, FEMA guards were patrolling with Seattle police officers. It's the only state, it's the only city in all of the United States of America where FEMA guards were on ride-along with regular Seattle police officers, not just highway patrol, but the ordinary police. And this was deliberately to test the situation when and if, perhaps I should say if and when, America goes into meltdown, and then the FEMA guards become police officers with the same rank and the same rights, and just go out and, you know, you've got another 250,000 extra police on the streets. So we're not to be fearful, but what we can say is that there is a high probability in the first few days of a situation that FEMA representatives may knock at somebody's door with a warrant for their arrest. I'm saying for the first few days because after that the system will break down. There will be so much resistance that the authorities will not be able to enforce it. But it's the first few days when people are still knocked off balance. That's the key period. And they know that, the first 2 to 3 days. That's why they want to strike rapidly in the first 2 to 3 days, because they've program modeled this, and they know after that, is that you plot it on a curve, on a graph, that basically the resistance of the citizenry builds to such a level that they no longer have the manpower to enforce it. So they will want to take out key people in the first 2.5 days. Now, if you're not a key person, you have nothing to fear, because by the time they get to your name on the list, they won't be doing it. If you're a key person, then yes, you want to consider a safe house. This is not scaremongering tactics. I know what these people intend. You know, that's why I've always said, have your food, have your water, a method to cook it. You know, and if you feel that you might be on that top 1,000 list, then make plans, you know, to just cover yourself for the first few days. So it's a good question, but we're going to lose the word fear. We don't have any fear for these people. Thank you, Ashley.
Good, good. So it's really a matter of being able to hold off their onslaught. So that might be a good time for active members to how do we say, waste their time in some kind of manner.
Yes, the I know what you're saying.
Yes, so that might be an interesting little strategy. Just waste their time for a couple of days, and then, as you say, the curve will meet the point of resistance, and resistance is effective. Resistance is very effective, I have to say. So now this is all good. Yeah, right. Okay. So, actually there's two Freemason questions. So let's go into the Freemason zone. And
we haven't done that before. Let's do that.
Not for a while. Riley, Simon Parks, many thanks for all you do. What is the absolute extent of magic a high ranking Illuminati member can perform? Yeah. What can be
a good question. I've never been asked that before. The only drawback to the question is, and the questioner has given me free rein here, is a high-ranking member. We need to grasp the fact that number 33 is very important, and a 33-degree Mason is not necessarily a high-ranking member of the Illuminati. Charles Darwin's father was a 33-degree Mason, and he was very high-ranking in the Masonic movement, but he wasn't a magician. I talk about the White Brotherhood, and the White Brotherhood exists beyond the 33 degree, and there are other groups within Freemasonry that exist beyond that ladder. And, you know, so many Masons haven't even got a clue. They go into the lodge or the temple on a regular basis, and they do really good charitable work, but they don't have a clue what's going on above them. And there are many that do have a clue, and, you know, probably very proud to be in a clean temple. not all temples are corrupted. But let's get back to the question. All right. Freemasonry gives an individual a structure. It gives them a framework for protection. It gives them the ability to communicate and operate within a secret order. Now, if you're going to go up through the ranks and you have a ability for magic, then the question is whether you're using that magic to enhance yourself or whether you're using it to promote the ruling elite of that particular branch of Freemasonry. What could a high-ranking member do? Well, let's just swap it over. If you're a black magician, you are not necessarily a high-ranking member of Freemasonry or the Illuminati. You could well be, but not in all cases. Many black magicians are victims. Many black magicians are prisoners themselves and are manipulated by those who are not into magic, but are into control and manipulation of people. So perhaps the better question is, what can a black magician achieve? A black magician can achieve nearly the ultimate. What is the ultimate? The ultimate is extending your life. The ultimate is bringing through other living creatures at your behest and using them to subjugate a target individual. So, for instance, you have a president or a prime minister of a country who's not doing what you want to do. Rather than Boston breaks or, you know, terrible accident while out at sea, you might use a demonic entity to inflict his or her family. Never mind the individual concerned. You know, a black magician could literally call up such a creature and send it. But, of course, the president or prime minister, if he or she's got anything about them, will already have remote viewers. They'll have their own magicians. So there's very little that a true magician can't do. The problem is, are they using it for good or for ill? And black magicians invariably use it for bad purposes. So that's my answer. It's probably not as detailed as I could go into, but that'll do, I think. Thank you.
All right, because we got another Masonic oriented question. So, okay, so here we go. This is from Nano. N-A-N-N-O.
Very tiny then.
Yes. The Osharian Freemasons. Osharian? I don't know. Freemasons teach that Anu is Lucifer, and as you have said, Anu is the Bible's Garden of Eden serpent. Modern Freemasons and the elite, who generally want to kill most of us and control the world, worship Lucifer above all, teaching that he is love and light. But you mentioned the Jews and reptilians have a current dispute. Was Anu, known as Lucifer, trapped on Earth by his father as punishment for giving knowledge, and the only way to finally release his soul is to reenact their past chaos, which will inevitably lead to the New World Order?
Right. No.
Go ahead. No, please.
Yeah, the answer's no. It's a very good question. The person's done their research. Right. When we look at Freemasonry, we would be forgiven to think that it's one concept across the planet. That's not the case. There are many crafts or guilds that exist, and generally people just join the Freemasons in the area they live. But after a while, they might seek to transfer. Those that are knowledgeable can join a lodge, which they get covered under the group they're in, but they can sort of be adopted by another group. So remember that Freemasonry and the law of ancient Egypt are very closely connected. So you could have Egyptian deities, Egyptian gods, that play a very important role in one particular sect or group of Freemasonry, but not in another. The whole question about Anu is, Noah wasn't trapped on Earth, came here voluntarily because it was a good place to set up an alternative command. If you think of Star Trek, there was the bridge and then there was the auxiliary control. and often the bridge got captured and taken over, so the jolly old crew would go down to the auxiliary control and, you know, manage the ship from there, or vice versa. So Earth was an auxiliary control as far as Anu was concerned. One of the issues is that if you understand reptilian culture, you understand that the job of the children is to depose their parents so they can become rulers. That's exactly what they tried to do. And the job of the parents is to maintain control and to prevent the children from toppling you. And that's what goes on day after day after day. So when contenders for the throne are placed out in different places or far-flung planets and given tasks to do, it's really to keep them busy. Prince Charles, in this royal family, in this country, Great Britain, was often placed in different things and different places to keep him busy so that he didn't sort of open his mouth and cause trouble. But while Anu was here, the escape routes were sealed up from outside. So Anu effectively has been trapped in the earth, for a great number of years. Now there are some people who say Anu's left the planet. No, that's not the case. And they say all the reptilians have left the planet. I'm really, really sorry. If all the reptilians had left the planet, we would have freedom on this planet. We would have freedom. The reason we haven't got freedom is because there's still a small core of people, well, they are sort of people, aren't they, holding it together from their perspective. And so imagine a underground facility that recreates the environment of your original home planet in a fourth dimensional density. So don't imagine houses and roads and streetlights and fountains and things like that. Just imagine an arid, hot environment where these creatures can be at home. And so as time has gone by, Anu and a small number of his followers that are left have created a home from home. They are not seeking Armageddon. What they're seeking is the maintenance of the status quo, because it's been working for them really nicely for a good few thousand years. They don't want to change it. The New World Order is not a reptilian agenda. I'll repeat that. The New World Order is not a reptilian agenda. The New World Order is an artificial intelligence stroke satanic plan. The reptilians do not want to wipe out three quarters of the world's population, because that is their power base. That's what they control. But AI and the small psychopathic satanic elite of the world want to do that, because they are increasingly finding it difficult to manage and maintain and control an ever widening waking up population. So the reptilians in this instance are not part of the problem, because they're not into the New World Order. The New World Order is a concept of crazy, mad, totally lunatic people who think that if they wipe off three quarters of the world's population, then they can walk in Central Park in America and not see a single person. They can enjoy the oak tree. They'll see a deer. They'll see a waterfall, and they won't have to share it with all those other horrible, useless eaters, as they call people. So the New World Order is an evil concept dreamt up by crackpots. So it's not Anu to blame for this one. It's the satanic people infected by artificial intelligence, which wants to remove three quarters of the population because it's organic biological material. We have blood, flesh and bones. AI does not. Therefore, it doesn't understand. And, you know, we made the joke about the Borg earlier. Resistance is not futile. And that's it. If you think about AI, it's saying we want to absorb you. And if we can't absorb you, we'll just destroy you. Well, it can't really absorb humanity. But what it can do is get humanity to start replacing its body parts with robotic parts. So humans, through their own free will and consciousness, can decide to become robots, which is what transhumanism is all about? So it's a really good question. Thank you.
Wow. So yes. So what you're saying is that the reptilian agenda is not the New World Order agenda. That's so. There's two things we need to. So the reptilian agenda is the status quo.
Yes.
The New World Order is a contentious system, but there are human alternatives. This is the idea, isn't it? That yes. We actually have to chuck both of them out and say, get out of our galaxy, and
yes.
We got stuff to do here. Yeah.
So, exactly right. Exactly right.
Okay. So. All right. So thanks for that. George Bluth, good afternoon, Simon. I don't mean to be rude, but when I ask, but my curiosity has been driving me crazy. In the last show, you mentioned that Buzz Aldrin was dead when he's actually alive. Was that an accident or the Mandela effect?
You can answer that one. Yeah, it was, I got the wrong name.
Yeah,
it was exactly what it was. Yeah. And a number of people have said to me, the problem is that I've been doing a number of private Skypes with astronauts over the last 6 to 7 months. And actually, some of them wouldn't use Skype, but we used another system, which is somewhat harder to crack. And I do actually get confused with people's names. And yes, it was my error.
It was the other guy who died recently, wasn't it?
Aldrin. We were talking about, weren't we?
Buzz Aldrin is still alive, but
yes, he's still ticking along, thank goodness.
It's Edgar Mitchell who died. That is
the one.
Yeah.
And it was Edgar
yes.
that I had the most recent conversation
That's
with.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now we got that cleared up. Mimi Black. Simon Parks, you said that when the nasty times ahead have come to an end, that we will get a choice to either stay on the planet to develop spiritually or to leave with our ET rulers to their homeland. Will we be told that this homeland is heaven? What will happen if we go with them? Will we enjoy a wonderful holographic life until we are eventually used as food? Is there eating, and it drifts off, there's no more. Is there eating of human flesh? Dot, 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 dot. So, you get the picture.
I was speaking at a conference in England, last weekend. I think it was last weekend. I get very confused. Time on this planet. It's a place called Bury. It was north of Manchester, and it was a really nice conference. I am answering your question, by the way. And there were some great speakers. There was a guy called Frank Wills, who I've never met before. A really good speaker. And that was nice. There was another guy who came from America who showed us lots of pictures of mass murderers. And I didn't really understand. You know, after you've seen about the third picture of a mass murderer, you get rather bored of it. I didn't really sort of understand that. But we did talk about reptilians and do they eat people. And it's a topic that very, very few people want to mention. And, you know, it is true. They do. And, you know, I'm not the only person to have said that. And that's one of the main reasons that we have so many missing children in so many locations. So there we go. That's the question on that one. But I completely forgot what the first part of it was. What was the first part of that question?
He said that when the nasty times have come to an end,
yeah.
we get a choice to either stay on the planet or to develop or to leave without ET rulers to their own land.
Right. Well, I know that he's having a laugh, as they say. I don't think he's being serious. There really will be, if they get their way, there will be some form of hard sell. To say that this planet is either going to be hit by an asteroid and you're all going to be wiped out and your only chance is to get on board these spaceships where you will be transported to another world and everything will be fine. That's what my money's on as their excuse or their reason. We're going to be hit by an asteroid. We can't stop it. You can't all go into an underground facility. So, do you know what? We've got these spaceships and we're going to take you off. So what would happen is that you'd be used as body parts. You'd be, have the blood drained out of you. And I'm being quite graphic because I want to really hit home here. And sold into slavery because, we on this planet generally deal in money or valuable items. Other species, negative species, don't use money. They use DNA. as their currency, or food. That is something that we find abhorrent and we can't understand, but we've only got to look back in our own history 200 years ago, and the slave trade, you know, where a range of countries were working with chiefs of African villages to put their people into slavery and then transport them all over the world. So, you know, we've done to our own people what this group is doing and intends to do in a larger scale. So it's nothing new. So no, don't get in the spaceships. This is our home. It's our planet. It's not beyond repair. We can do a lot with it. The planet loves us, and we must never forget the covenant that we have with the planet. And so if someone tries to elbow you or crowbar you off this planet, the reason is because they want it for themselves. And it's a lot easier to get you onto a spaceship than it is to try and run round, round you up, put you in a FEMA camp and gas you. So, no, don't make life easy for them. Good question. Thank you.
Resistance is effective. Once again. Yeah, wow. DNA trade. Anyway, so let's look further. There's a bleak question. Some normal people's lives are so synchronistically unfortunate that it actually makes for a very interesting story. Are the struggles of average citizen targeted individuals ever used for, and I've lost the last part of it, so probably ever used for movies or scripts and stuff like that?
Okay. Well, you've got two words here, which I want to just change for you.
Yeah.
You used the word, this is to our...
Oh, yeah, ever used for movie, TV show, or book ideas.
Okay, right. It's a good question, but let's just change some words. You used the word normal, and then you used the word average. I honestly couldn't tell you what normal is. You know, am I normal? I'm not, if you compare me to what the system says we should be. Is somebody normal that you know, eats 4 cream buns a day? No, but that's only if you compare them to the system. So what we're talking about is what the system says is right. We had this question earlier, in a way. The system says that between this parameter and that parameter is acceptable. If you're outside of that parameter, you're not normal. So it's the system making a judgment. What happens is that average people leading an approved lifestyle, approved by the system, do not get targeted because they are not any threat to the system. The system doesn't threaten people that are doing what the system wants. The system only turns on people that are working against the system's interests. Think about the film The Matrix, where they said they've been following Neo for years. They knew what he was up to, but he wasn't a threat to the system. But when he was about to become a threat, then the agents started to take action against him. No, average people don't find themselves in a film unless the film is a documentary about the average life of an average person. It isn't that people aren't interested. It is that the system wants to only push the type of film or the type of documentary that has a negative effect on its audience. So, for instance, in Britain, there is a show running that has a person who can only live in clutter. So in their apartment, they keep everything. There's just absolute mess. And then they bring someone in who's completely OCD, and is compulsive tidier upper. And then they put the two together, and then they watch what happens. Now, is that really what the audience want to see? Or is it that the system is trying to brainwash people? And so what I would say is that ordinary average people don't find their lives covered by the newspapers or the television because it doesn't promote what the system wants. If someone is doing something that the system wants, like Brian Cox, who's going to talk about planets and stars, then the system will promote that man because he is reinforcing the establishment's view. Now, he's not going to be gang-stalked or have his internet turned off or his phone line hacked into because he is doing what the system wants. And I would say to everybody, if somebody says to you that they are a force for good, but they're not having any problems, you should really doubt that. If somebody's getting the stick banged over their head on a regular basis, it must be because they're doing some good. So it's a really handy question. Thank you.
Yeah. So, or if your dear loved ones turn into demon monsters every few days, you know.
Yes.
Meanwhile, see, back at CERN, right? We haven't had a CERN question for a while. It's time. CERN recently released an exhibit called Collision, hinting at a collision of dimensions, along with an eerie video called Black Rain, which sounds like an insidious spread of black goo through rainfall. The video has no context, but focuses only on what likes to be an eye-shaped dimension opening. Why do you assume that we are safe from CERN? What could go wrong? Yeah. This is the CERN propaganda saying, look, we're opening dimensions. What's going on?
Well, I would assume something if I sat here and I only had the Daily Mirror newspaper to read. And then I went down the bar and had a couple of drinks with someone, and then I could assume what. But I don't assume anything. I know, because I'm very fortunate to be in a position to know some things, not all things, but some things. I can categorically tell you that CERN is not an issue now in the same way it was as when connecting consciousness played a key role in putting the planet first. Doesn't mean that CERN can't cause some problems, but it can't catastrophically alter the ascent of humanity. What people have been shown is what we already knew at the back end of last year, was that a small hole dimensionally had been punched through to the fourth. In other words, there is the capability now at the CERN facility to communicate in unscrambled, secure method through to entities in the fourth dimension, in a way that wasn't possible before. They were always able to communicate, but those communications were liable to interception. But when you have a corridor, it's much harder to intercept. But their principle, or their option, is terribly limited, because they were trying to open something meters or yards wide to bring in goodness knows what. And what they've been left with is just a small pinprick. What people perhaps are not aware of is that these tubes, there are two tubes I'm aware of that run around the facility, that an entity or a consciousness, that's a better word, a consciousness has entered into these tubes. And that is causing a great deal of difficulty for the operators. I haven't got any more information, but all I can tell you is that that is the case. And I have no concern with CERN at all. It is not an issue. The reason they are putting, as you say, JP, quite rightly, they're putting this propaganda out, is because the elite are still drawing black budgets from all the countries. New Zealand, Australia, America, Great Britain, and poor old Europe. Germany, Switzerland, France. They're all being made still to contribute. And so from time to time, what they do is they put out a news bulletin, or they put something out. We've just discovered this. So it's basically trying to justify the fact that they're going back to these countries and saying, we need more money without you telling your taxpayers what you're doing with it. That's what it is. So please have no fear. But there are things much closer to home that we need to be concerned about.
Okay, so, Simon Parks, thank you so much for your generosity and courage. Apologies for the bizarre questions. Is it possible for ETs or multidimensional beings while in our dimension to have undetected sex with people when they are not sleeping or in any type of paralysis, but fully awake and conscious? And how easily can one be possessed by staring in a mirror? Can you be possessed by staring in a mirror?
Okay. Yes, you can, actually. It's a good question. Right, the first question, I'm not clear whether the person is asking detected, meaning does the individual themselves know what's happening, or do they mean the military detecting it?
I'm pretty sure it's like, without, stealthily, let's put it, without them knowing, kind of thing.
You can't, have sex with a off-planet entity during the day without being aware something along those lines has happened. You can at night time, if you don't get memories back, if you're not bruised or sore, then there's no reason why you would know it. But fortunately, the majority of people are aware of it. And what happens is that if you become suspicious that something along those lines is happening, then your higher self begins to alert your conscious mind and you begin then to be more aware. So when it does potentially happen again, that time you're beginning to remember more and you're more aware of it. So the answer is during the daytime, no, not to my knowledge, you would know what was happening, but at nighttime, the majority of people don't know what's happening. Now, there was a second part question. What was that one, JP?
Yeah, it's...
It was a second
bit. Yeah, how easily can one be possessed by staring in a mirror?
Right. What happens is that when you look into a mirror, if you have had interaction with a satanic energy, it doesn't necessarily mean a person, but a satanic type energy, then they can enter your mind at the time you look into the mirror and you don't see your face looking back at you. You would see the devil. So if you look into the mirror and you think you see the devil, I can assure you, you're not seeing the devil. You are just seeing yourself, but something is affecting your mind to give you a screen memory, a false image of what you're seeing. So that's what that is. And if the person is experiencing that, then they need to get me an email and I'll have a chat with them.
Okay, right. So we're at the top of the hour, Simon. So let's take a little break. I need a potty break. What should we do? Where should we go? Now, I was looking for some of my tunes because that's right. Oh dear. No. Okay. I'll just see what's in the playlist and see what, so I've got,
Never
there
mind.
We go. This one. There'll be a couple. Oh, that's a nice one. Yes. Let's have some more Chiba. This is The World Looking In. And we're back. Welcome back to Connecting Consciousness. We're just discussing cats, as all internet men do these days. Simon, welcome back.
Thank you.
There we go. That was Mochiba and The World Looking In. I'm on full screen here, and I need to exit that. That's right, so I can see the questions behind the screen. There we are. Right. Okay. So, where are we? There we go. Right. Okay. From Tallulah. Okay. Sorry about all this, verbal filler. I was just trying to get back to the page. Anyway, during the repopulation event, how much do we have to worry about contamination in our water or food, like viruses, poisons, or potentially threatening medication? What about psychologically destructive substances like hallucinogens or even truth serums?
One of the potentials that the crazy gang, let's call them that, have is to threaten through supposed terrorist intervention, poisoning of the drinking water system. So there wouldn't be a poisoning of the drinking water system, but they would say that was the case. And then you would find centres opening up, selling or giving out bottled water. That is something to be very, very cautious of. And that's, again, why I've said to people, store bottled water. Don't rely on handouts from the government. because it's very easy to put something into bottled water and not so easy to put it into a great reservoir, because you can't get the percentages right. If you, you know, put something into, or suggest you put something into a reservoir, there's no guarantee that it will be equally effective. But if you get the threat of people, you know, going to the centres and picking up bottled water, then you know exactly the percentages you've put in there. So it's not that they would necessarily do it, it's that they would threaten it because they want to direct people into their own channels. So, you know, they could say, there's a killer virus, and we've had so many killer viruses in the last few years that actually weren't massive viruses. They certainly killed people, but they didn't wipe out whole countries. But the whole point about this is to put the fear so that by the time the fifth virus has come out, when they then say there's a virus, people go, oh yeah, right, well, we understand that, so we'll know it. And then they'll ramp it up every week. So many supposedly died, so many gone mad. And then they'll say, right, okay, we've got a solution. It's a free vaccine and there's no charge for it. You get it. Now, I was chatting to somebody who will remain nameless, but his daughter works in a hospital in Great Britain. And coming up to Christmas, she thought, I know, I'll have the flu jab. I don't know what they do in other countries, but in Great Britain, we're so terrified of the flu, you see, that you can go and get an injection for free, which, you know, will probably stop you getting flu. And this woman found out anecdotally, so she didn't do a proper test, but anecdotally, she found out that 90% of the staff of the hospital refused to have the injection. And she started thinking, what's going on here? Surely this is something that everybody would want. And she found out that the flu jab contains mercury. That's shocking. It actually contains mercury. And I haven't had this guaranteed or proved, but she's a nurse. I'm not. She works in a hospital. I don't. And she told me that doctors were receiving £5. What's that? $8? £5 for each injection they gave for the flu jab. So no wonder in Great Britain you see posters up in every corner saying, get your flu jab, and if you're an old age pensioner, you'll get it for nothing. And if that's true, and it probably is, that's why they push it, because they're getting £5 or $8 for each time they inject you. And if it contains mercury, no wonder people die. And the final insult here is that there's a legal clause which says if you die from a flu jab injection, and that's the same in America for their injections, you can't sue. Now, recently in America and Great Britain, a 13-year-old girl has been able to have an injection at school to prevent them catching a disease. And the only way you can stop it is if the parent writes a letter saying that she does not consent to her daughter having this injection. And if you don't write the letter in Great Britain, your 13-year-old child will be inoculated. Now, in America, 30,000 children were died or became seriously disabled from this injection. Now, what the American system would say was, well, look, we inoculated 1 million children, so 30,000 of 1 million is only a very small percentage. That's not my argument. My argument is if 30,000 children are being killed or disabled through an injection and you can't legally sue the government, then that tells me something is being manipulated. America is a litigious state. If you are crossing the road and a fire truck comes out on an emergency 911 call and knocks you down, you can sue that fire department for huge amounts of money because it's their mistake. But if you have a child who has an inoculation and that child then develops a serious condition because of the inoculation, you are not allowed to take action against that government or that chemical. So we need to understand what's going on here. The fear of inoculation, or the need of inoculation, is a very powerful weapon of the elite. And they are forcing children in some places to have an inoculation, or they can't go to nursery or Sunday school or whatever it might be. If you don't have your child inoculated, you can't get that child educated. We're not having your child in school unless it's had an inoculation. What the hell is that about? This is about lack of freedom for an individual. What diseases are there that are rampant in the Western world? There aren't any. So it's a real evil design. And in country next door to me in Scotland, they are forcing through an inoculation program for children. That's just about to start. So we need to get our act together. We need to stop these people. These people are evil. They are elected, but they don't represent the wishes and the wants of the people who put them in that position. They don't deserve to be there. They are just there for themselves, make their money, do what they're told, and then retire on a big fat pension. Well, you know, those days are numbered. The humanity needs to be able to say, we only want people in positions of responsibility who are there to do good for the people. So it's a really good question, and there's a whole big debate on it, but watch it, because it's developing in the Western world very strongly. The fear and the reality, and they're running the two together. Good question. Thank you.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And it's coming up for now, Nicholas Fowler. Simon, can you address the following, please? If the ego self is trapped in the reincarnation cycle on this planet lifetime after lifetime, then this must imply that either the ego self is separate from its spirit or soul, or the soul itself is the one who is trapped by the false light. Can you explain this? Now, if it is only the soul fragment that is trapped here by the false light, why is the soul or spirit unable to reabsorb its soul fragment in the cycle?
Right. No, the whole...
That makes sense.
Yes, yes, I understand what he's saying. The whole soul is trapped here. It's not the ego, right? The ego is part of an energy frequency from the soul, which is translated into your organic brain, built on your past experiences, predominantly on this planet, but not exclusively so, and to a certain extent, the way you've been brought up by your immediate family. It is the whole soul that is trapped and recycled time and time again. The question is, each time, does that soul break through the barrier of to the organic brain and wake the organic brain up and say, this is who I really am, this is what's happened to me? And that can come back as dreams or snippets of memory or bits of video that play out. So it's not soul fragments. That's not the case here. What's not what we're talking about. A person lives their life. Doesn't matter what that life is, they live a life. Their physical body dies, their soul goes up, they do their best to get away from the energy trap, and let's say it doesn't work, they get recycled back. They have no clue who they were, what they were, and so it goes on time and time again, and then on one occasion, something happens, and that individual suddenly has a blinding memory that they were back in Egypt, or they were in the Mayflower, or something like that. We're not all princes, kings, and royalty. Sometimes we took the trash out, you know, but we get a memory of who we were, and that starts the process. That begins to get the person to start to question and follow it through. So I hope that explains, but the ego is literally the individual who is not spiritual. If the ego is running amok, if the ego is totally dominant, it is usually because they're in a 3D trap. You know, I'm making as much money as I can. I'm a very, very powerful person. I drive an expensive motor car. I'm very clever. And that is the ego. That's got nothing to do with the soul being trapped. That is to do with the choice of that individual in the 3D world that he or she exists in. So it's a good question, but the questioner has probably been fed the wrong way to go on that. So I'm hoping
it's the foundation of it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. from Michael Craig. Dear Simon, I am deeply grateful for the dedication you show to your mission here on Earth to help humanity. Also in helping people like me progress in our missions too with your invaluable and vital education. You are an illumined star amongst the darkness. Thank you. Thank you to JP for hosting this wonderful radio show and crucial service for awakening souls on this planet. I did apply for reading back in December, though. I realize you must have a long backlog. No worries, I have eternally unlimited reserves of patience. So my question then, Simon, if I may ask, so could you describe what an Archon is exactly? Also, what is the nature of the AI threat to humanity and the galaxy, and what relationship exists, if any, between, and I'm presuming this is Archons, it's the way this thing is and Illuminati devices placed on souls to disrupt or feed off their energy. Yes.
Three questions.
Yes. Well, you got there.
First of all, Michael, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Nearly everyone who writes in to JP's show is a good person. And it's really nice what you've said. Thank you. God knows there are enough evil and bad people on the planet. So, thank you very much for your kind words. Right. I suggest you email in again on simon.parks3@btopenworld.com and, your email will be picked up. And, you know, we have a huge backlog, but if it's in this case, then, I feel, you know, that's wrong. You should really have been seen and picked up. So please email in and I'll get your reading done within 2 weeks. Right, three questions. What is an Archon? Right, an Archon is an energy being that is devoid of organic material that doesn't have a concept of what organic life is and came here by chance. Between planets, there are energy streams, and when divine forces connect different planets or travel between planets, they leave a trail or a corridor behind them. And the Archons came here following a trail and settled because they saw the potential for the planet. So Archons aren't created on this planet. They're not native to this planet. They arrived here because they followed a trail of energy which brought them here. Archons are not particularly spiritual, but do have an understanding of hierarchy, don't have any understanding of ascension in the word we understand it, because they believe that they have reached the highest level anyway. The second question was about AI. What was it? JP AI?
What is the nature of the AI threat to humanity and the galaxy?
Right. Earth is the battleground. If AI can't be stopped here, then it's already been projected that it will play out right across not just the galaxy in this reality, but in many others. It's not just the reptilian threat that has brought so many benevolent off-planet entities here. It is the AI threat. That is much more of a threat than the reptilians. The reptilians are a threat to humanity. The AI is a threat to every human creature from here to the seventh dimension. And it has been ordained that the firewall, the firebreak, is going to be planet Earth. The danger is that all of humanity is no longer organic, doesn't become a carbon organic-based life form, becomes a silicon-based life form. That is what AI is. That's why silicon was introduced in the Roswell space crash. That's why silicon is so involved with chips and circuitry and computers. Transhuman agenda is the alteration of the biological body and replacement by robotic parts. And they are even the crass stupidity of it. They're proudly announcing that by 2025, they will have a computer that thinks like a human. And the principle there is, well, you don't need a brain. We'll just literally put this computer into your head. We will disconnect the biological parts of your brain and we will put this in place. Now, that may sound really, really stupid. That is the plan. That is the plan of these people, is to completely and utterly remove the biological human living form on this planet and replace it with a robot. Not the stupid robots that you see on YouTube stumbling about and falling over, but a very, very, well, a Terminator, for God's sake. That's the best way to describe it. Like an Arnold Schwarzenegger, God bless him. But less biology and far more robotics. And the final question was, what was the final question?
What's the relationship between Archons and Illuminati devices placed on souls to disrupt or feed off their energy? So, yeah, do the Illuminati have a soul-sucking device that then charges up their mobile phone, or whatever, or do the Archons, do the Archons feed off the same stuff? Are we talking the same level here?
No. We're not. The implants placed on, usually psychic and spiritual people are satanic by and large, which includes demonic, but can also include archonic. If you have an individual who is destined to be a world-renowned healer or have a vision, you know, someone who can foretell the future, and that person is going to use their gifts for good, then either the satanic group or the AI group will attempt to prevent that individual from reaching his or her high potential. Many, many, many people have implants, energy implants. We're not talking the little metallic or plastic-based chips. We're talking energy implants, which up till about 7 years ago, the humans couldn't do. Now, around about 7 years ago, humans began to be able to place energy implants. Up until then, they've been putting the plastic, the metal, and then later on the plastic implants. So these implants are either to control somebody or to try to, like a seismograph, try to gain information about their brain activity or their energy levels when they are performing certain tasks. So these implants are for a whole range of things. Many people have them in the hands or the leg. That's a controlling implant. Some people have them in the back, in the spine. That's more of a monitoring implant. These are the metallic or plastic ones. But the energy implants tend to be in the auric field or just below that, and are around, usually around the chakra points or around the head. It's quite a complicated matter, obviously, and removing the energy implants is a lot easier because most surgeons and doctors pretend, oh, well, I can't take that out, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Most of them know what they are, in the sense that they know somebody very powerful put that in there. They know a doctor didn't do it in the traditional sense of the word. They know their patient didn't do it, so therefore they're looking at an elite organization. So many doctors would just say, I'm not doing it. I won't take that out. And they'll just give you any excuse like, well, you know, it's too difficult or this, that, and the other. They're all controlled through one form or another. And we, of course, have Dr. Richard Lear, who's passed on now, and he did remove implants successfully, but he was one of only very, very few people who were prepared to do it. So it's a good three questions. Thank you for those.
And 1,000 domains of knowing opened up. From New Zealand, from Poppy, from New Zealand. Once DNA is downloaded, is it possible for it to be robbed again? Could somebody lose their psychic abilities this way, perhaps?
That's a really good question, Poppy.
Indeed, yes. Can, you know, everybody's ascending, and can people be, can they hack at you and like, you, can you lose the DNA strands that you built up all over these times?
Right. I'm afraid the answer is yes, but only through free will. In other words, nobody can come along and steal it. The only way they'd get it is if you agree to them taking it. Humanity lost its full complement of DNA because it agreed to have it removed. So, you know, who in their right mind would agree to that? But sometimes people can be bribed or tricked. You know, they can sell their soul for a piece of paper. And that happens time and time and time again. So no, Poppy, it can't be taken from you unless you agree to it being taken.
Okay. This is a question from Paul. Can you ask Simon if there is a Monarch underground base near Edinburgh? I was told he was a regular there. Have you any ideas about the British MK situation, particularly in Edinburgh?
I don't know that it was a Monarch base. There certainly was. My understanding is it's if it's not mothballed entirely, it's much reduced. So he's right. There was a base there. Whether it was part of Ultra, that I don't know. But I do know there was a base. The area under there is very used. It's very good for digging out, for making caves. And the rock is very strong and good. So it lends itself well. Also, being under a major city, Edinburgh's got some very both good and not so good energies. And it affords itself well for direct communications. You can drive from London or you can travel from Edinburgh to major places on the East Coast. So Edinburgh is a very key location. All I can say is there was a base. My understanding is it's been mothballed. It may not entirely be shut down. But anything to do with Ultra really has been reduced now, and it's only a handful of individuals or places are operating it in this country because there's been so many leaks. You know, it was a time when so many hospitals were involved with it, psychiatric places, schools. So many places were in that network, but because human consciousness has arisen up, that actually reduced greatly. But your information is right. There was or is some form of base still operating there. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. So, yes. Simon from Daniela. Occasionally, you told about the strategies to get out of the prison planet Earth after death. What about those souls who love the Earth, Gaia, and the waiting tasks so much that they willingly continue to go through the wheel of reincarnation to improve life on Earth and their own soul? Maybe one is not yet ready to go back to the star family.
Hello, Daniela. It's free choice. It's free will. You know, if you are here to do a job and you don't complete the job, or you do complete the job, but the result is not as you wished, then, you know, you could say, I want to have another crack at it, but it's free will. And you might say, well, I've done my life on this planet, I now wish to go back. I would say that the vast majority of people, when they come on this planet, are so sick of it, and so disappointed with it that they want to go and find they can't. But there are some people who feel that they didn't get enough time on the planet to do what they wanted to do, or they woke up too late, and if they'd had another 10 years or 20 years, then they might have done it. And they will throw the dice and say, look, I know if I come back here, I'll probably spend the first 20, 30 years totally in oblivion working for a bank, and then suddenly I'll wake up. But the hope is that I'll make faster progress next time around, or I might remember something of this lifetime. And so, yes, free will. If people want to come back here for whatever reason, then it's very easy to do so. So it's a good question. Thank you.
Excellent. So now, next. Oh, yes, this is Sonia from Vienna. Question for Simon. My brother died recently, and he's been mentally ill for half his life. Is a mental illness connected to the physical brain, or has a soul to deal with it even after death? How can I communicate with him and be sure it's really him? Thank you very much, Sonia.
Well, I'm really sorry that you lost someone that, you know, physically, that was really close to you. You know, I'm never disparaging of the death of a physical body. I mean, I've always made it clear that the person doesn't die. What dies is the physical body that your eyes and your hands touch. That is what we, as humans, miss. It's like when we lose an animal. It's the fact that that person or animal doesn't come into the room anymore. Or you say, I'm just going to make a coffee. Do you want a coffee? But they don't actually die. This is the bit that's very important. So the questioner understands that and is saying, how can I communicate with them? So that's the first bit. Let's just put that to the siding, as we say. Mental illness. There are undoubtedly genuine cases of mental illness where somebody has a defect in their biological brain and that they don't operate in a way that is appropriate. They can't think in a straightforward way. That's not to say they're not super intelligent. So many people who have those disabilities are absolutely brilliant, but can't, because they don't have the right control mechanisms, they can't articulate that brilliance. So I don't see it, oddly enough, I don't see it as negative. The system sees it as negative because it doesn't know how to cope with these people. There's no proper resources put in to help family members. Then we, you know, they don't try to understand. All they try to do is manage the situation. Right, how do you communicate with someone? If you think that some physical body whom you loved has died, but the soul hasn't left that location, mainly because it was very attached to you, then by all means go to a psychic or a medium. Go to somebody who can communicate with spirits that have not passed on, as they call it. Some people can actually communicate with spirits that have passed on. So if you are really missing this person and you want to try and have a communication, then try and find somebody who is capable of doing that. And there's nothing wrong in that. Don't tell everyone about it because they'll just think you're mad or stupid. People who really love you and understand you will not pass a judgment. And we should always use that in our lives, that anybody who passes a negative judgment on somebody clearly is not their friend and they're not that awake. So all I would say, and I'm bringing your final question here, is you need to make sure that you ask questions that only that person can answer, because it is true that negatives can hack in to a genuine medium who's trying to do good for you and trying to find, you know, the person you've lost. But somebody will think, aha, here's my way of getting at this woman. I'll pretend to be the brother or the boyfriend or whatever, and I'll do some mischief. So make sure you ask questions through the medium that only that person could answer. That's your best defense. Okay.
Anyway, so here's from Kent Bengtson. Bengtson. Question for Simon. I do recognize that there is some truth or something to astrology, but my logical mind can't comprehend how this can be. Why would my personality and my destiny to some part be affected by the position of the celestial bodies at the moment my body pops out of my mother's vagina? Yes, he said that. Could it be that between life memory wipe and any implants given then follow a certain schedule that is linked to the celestial calendar? Is there another explanation for why we have these? Yeah, anyway.
Right, let's go back to the word you used. What was the word he used about his mind? My something mind.
Oh, it said, to, by the position of the celestial bodies, No,
the very beginning of this.
Oh, my logical mind can't comprehend. Yes, exactly. A logical mind cannot comprehend astrology. Go ahead.
Right. If we mean logical mind, we have to be careful here, because if somebody comes and tells me they've seen a flying saucer, I have logical questions that I wish to ask them based on what I know and what others have told me to see if it fits a pattern. That's logic. But it's more about question and answering to see where it goes. When we start talking about logic, we have to say, who is creating that logic? The answers that we're going to get to these logical questions, are these given to us by a textbook from a university which is just doing what the system wants? Are we just trapped in a 3D trickery? And so we are designed by source to be able to believe and understand anything, but the system tries to corrupt that so that we'll only accept what is written in that textbook from the university. So instead of thinking my logical mind won't accept that, what you need to say is it's nothing wrong in the logic. It's not the logic that's holding you back from understanding. It's the belief in the impossible from the establishment's viewpoint. So what I would ask you to do really is to look at something and say, okay, not why can't that happen, but why would the system not want me to know about that? And that's the best way to come at things, to say to yourself, why is the system pushing a particular standpoint? Why is it, you know, I've said this and it's worth saying again because I haven't said it for about 6 months. Every week you can go to the White House, if you're invited as a leading member of the media, and you can ask questions of the president or the president's appointed spokesperson. But you can't ask a question on UFOs. You are not allowed to ask a question on UFOs. And if you ask a question on UFOs, your media outlet or your newspaper will never, ever be invited back to the White House to ask another question of a president. That's why they don't dare do it. Why in God's name would you not allow that? What are they so fearful of? So you start to question things and you can say, well, why do I not accept that this could be possible when the Vatican tells you that God should be accepted even though you can't see God, and your logical mind should say, well, how can there be a God? My logic tells me there can't be a God. But because it's the establishment wanting you to believe in the false elements that they put forward, remember, the religious God as opposed to the creational God. So when somebody, as this questioner, uses the word my logical mind, I would just say to you that you're on the right path, but you clearly need to understand that you are still living in the 3D world in terms of its control system on you. Throw those shackles off. You have to live in the 3D world. I do. We have to try and get by. We have to have friends. There's certain things that I can't say to X, but I can say to Y. And you have to live in two worlds. You know the truth, but you can't share the truth with everybody, because if you do, it makes life very difficult for you. So that's probably my answer, which doesn't answer anything you wanted me to say at all.
You're learning to be a politician, are you?
Now, I've learned that, and I left it because I got as far as I could get and do good. And I always said that I would leave at the moment that I could no longer do more good than harm. In other words, as long as I was helping people, then it was worth doing. But when the point came that the system was preventing me from helping people, why would I do it? And you know, for the record, I resigned. You know, I left 1 month before my term of office, my 4-year term of office ended. I wrote a letter of resignation and said, you know, I've got other things to do in my life. Thank you very much, but I'm resigning. And I got a letter back from all of the members, signed by all the members of the council, thanking me, for the years that I'd done. And you know, the local mayor, it was only 2 weeks ago, the local mayor came up to me and said, and I quote, "When are you coming back? We need you." And that's not because I'm full of ego. That's just a fact. Because I'm quite in a debate, when people get very hot-headed and angry, and that's quite good. Passion is good. But I'm the person that finds a way through. You don't generally get hot-headed and angry. I can, you know, usually find a solution that we can all work together with. So that was probably the greatest thing that I brought in the debating chamber. But I loved being a local politician because I could meet the people, for God's sake. I could meet the people who weren't getting things done properly. They had issues and problems, and I could help them. But the system now in Great Britain is such that central government dictates nearly everything. So as a local politician, I've seen the responsibility taken away and taken away and taken away until all you're doing is just sitting there signing bits of paper. Well, I didn't join to do that. I joined to make people's lives better. And one day we're going to have a change round, and it will happen, and it'll be worth doing something like that because people can really affect others' lives. So, yeah, politician is a dirty word. The individuals come in with the greatest will in the world, most of them, and the system just squashes them flat. Next one.
Destiny calls. Dear Simon, I recently discovered that I am an empath. How can I best work with the sensitivities which come with this in terms of helping people without overloading myself? Many thanks to you and JP for all your hard work.
Right, it's a really
great
important
question.
It is. Look on the physical side, first of all. Let's take a social worker. He or she sees some pretty awful stuff and has to detach themselves. They go home, you know, and try and put that out of their head. That's on a physical level. When you're an empath, it means that unless you can really, like a door, open and close it, you are going to be swamped with not just emotions that could be upsetting, but one minute they're ecstatic and happy, and the next person you pick up is really sad. And it's this pendulum effect, which is very destabilizing to a person. You know, you're sort of seeing and feeling great swings of emotion. So you have to protect yourself, and you have to say, I will keep it closed until I'm working with an individual, and you get to talk to them physically first, make the connections, and then you can open that and do it. Now, if there are some people that can't turn that off, and that's why they live and really live on their own, because they can't expose themselves to it, it's just too much. So you can train yourself. What I'd suggest you do, there are a number of genuine websites out there where people are empathic. You need to have a conversation with them to learn how to defend yourself and protect yourself, but also perhaps how to use your gift for good purposes. So it is a very, very important question, because I know a number of people who've just had to become recluse because they never got their head around turning it off.
Ahem.
So, yeah, that's a good question.
Ahem. Yes. Now this is, all right, settle back. Here's a quick long question from Aurora. Sex, money, and the Archons. Well, she's got two questions. I think this is she. I'm going to ask you just one of them. So, okay, and it's long. So, I am a sexual healer working with men and women, helping them use their sexual energies for liberation and ascension rather than for slavery and unconsciousness. I'm becoming more concerned with the misuse of sexual energy and sexual addictions that are adversely affecting humans right now. Japan has created and is selling sex robots that not only are fully anatomically correct, but also use programs to try to bond with the human it is interacting with. The internet technology and even film technology was built so quickly because of the porn industry, just as the Anunnaki wanted to have sex with humans. I believe that internet porn was and is the first step for AI to have sex with humans. The second step is now sex with the robots. Is this a step away from hybrid humans? Humans are already having problems connected with each other. With sex bot technologies, it seems that we have even more ways to avoid each other. Simon, thank you for your thoughts on this and any insights.
Any insects?
Sorry, any insects? No, any insights.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, if you have some insects that you'd like to bring to the table, by all means, you know, we have little sugar, bowls of sugar water for them.
Excellent. Right, the questioner is very, it's very interesting because, I'm not clear whether they work with people who have a sexual issues which are destructive in themselves, or whether they are working with people who've had abuse through sex, and therefore they have issues.
I would imagine that she's working with the latter. That's, you know, the energy that she's, that okay. this is coming over. I'm pretty sure that this is the field in which we're working anyway.
Right, well, we've got two different themes here. If that's correct, I couldn't work out which it was. But if that's correct, that is, satanic humans, mostly, some alien, but usually satanic humans doing that. But the robot, sex robot side, that is from AI archonic. They are actually different. So the questioner is correct, 100% correct, that it's not just actually porn on computers, it's actually just computer games as well. It's anything where the computer, through its programming, interacts with a person. Now that's the key, because those computers can be accessed, and the way that the human mind uses its fingers to press buttons and the responses the human gets allows AI to begin to understand and to become like a human. Now, I just spent ages saying that the AI doesn't want to become like a human, but it does in terms of its thinking process. Because in order to replicate a human, it needs to become a human from the mindset, but not from the organic side. The robots are absolutely horrendous. It is the transhuman agenda. It's basically saying, you don't need a male or a female to sexually satisfy you. You can have a robot. Well, you know, you've got to be pretty bloody stupid not to realize that the system is trying to break up the basic concept of the needs of males and females to have a sexual relationship with whoever. So that is separate, perhaps, from the issues of a person who has been sexually traumatized as part of a program to give them alternate personalities, to control them. But it's still the same, perhaps, in the sense that they have a destructive sexual personality. So whilst the two do have links, I do see them as very separate, but the person clearly has great knowledge, the questioner has great knowledge, they've already answered their own question, but it's great because it gives us the chance to air it and to make other people aware. So whatever work they're doing is wonderful, so thank you. It would be nice to touch base with you. If you want to try and get hold of me, that would be great.
Make an attempt. Join the queue. So, now we're 10 minutes away. Here's another one. This is from Roman in Russia. Hello, Simon. Hello, JP. Simon, you often say that several ET races were involved in the creation of us humans. Also, you said that human race has been long ago living in the universe. When you're referring to us being created by several other races, do you mean us as the seventh generation of humans on Earth? Mm. As you say, our seventh attempt here. Thank you for your enlightening work.
No, I can see where I've not been clear. So thank you for doing that.
It was something you said in the last roundtable, wasn't it?
It's the seventh time. What I actually said was, this is the seventh time we've been here, but we've never been this close. We never got to 2012 before, but it's the seventh attempt to break free. And I can understand how the questioner thinks that. Right. Now, I can't be exactly accurate. Somewhere between 210,000 and 250,000 years ago, the version of humanity that we see on the planet today was created. So somewhere along those lines. I'm sorry I can't be more specific. Perhaps one day I will. That means that there's been humans here a long time before that, but the version that we are familiar with is the final version that was settled on, because we were intelligent enough to work but not intelligent enough to break free. And goodness knows, you know, when we look around at some of the things that our governments are doing to us and how the vast majority of the public accept it, then they were quite right. We were intelligent enough to work, but not intelligent enough to think. And that's exactly what we do, isn't it? We go to work, we do a job, we get paid for it, but we don't think. So 210 or 250,000 years ago, the final version was created by a reptilian faction. But on the run-up to that, which goes back in excess of 2 million years, different alien races had arrived on this planet, found the human species, and tinkered around with it, and then disappeared, and then maybe a quarter of a million years went by, and something else arrived, found the human species, tinkered around with it. That is one of the reasons why we have 12 strands of DNA, potentially, because we have been genetically altered by many different off-planet entities. We don't just imagine it was the reptilians. What the reptilians did were the last group to come here effectively and start doing that. But AI is very recent, but it didn't genetically try to alter people. What it's trying to do is, we've talked about, is to remove humanity and replace it with a robot. But it is AI is very recent. Our cons are very recent here. And the reptilians were the last biological species on this planet to bring the human race to the position we're at now. So we've got a long history of connection with many other forms. Have I missed a bit of the question out, JP?
Okay. Let me see. You were talking about the seventh attempt.
Yes.
What was the seventh attempt to do?
Right.
You keep saying that we got to 2012. Does that mean that we've been at 2012 before?
No, we've never been at 2012. Right. The last time we tried to break out is very recently in our history, and it's labeled the hippie movement. People don't understand that we were that close to overthrowing the system, but it was infiltrated mainly by the CIA, who derailed the hippie program. But that was jolly nearly an ascension period. But if we go back, the seven times are between now and 210,000 years ago, or 250,000 years ago. So since the very first Homo sapiens sapiens were on the planet, this is the seventh time, but we have never reached the equivalent of 2012. We have always tried to ascend before our time. So in other words, the Mayan calendar is absolutely accurate. The date 2012 was the date of ascension, and I think I missed out a point from another question. I'll just bring that in with this now. That was to do with the zodiac, the signs. Princess Diana, who was murdered, was always known as the moon goddess, and she was associated with the moon. Many MK Ultra programs and more advanced programs link their subjects to planets or stars, or the conjunction of planets and stars. And so if you are born, I'm a Virgo, and if you are born with a sign, you will have traits. I bought a book in many years ago, which was written in 1970, and it was one of a series, and it said Virgo. So I thought, right, I'll have that. And you know what? It actually said the typical male Virgo likes paintings by Lowry, which are the stick men. And I have six Lowry paintings on my wall. Now, that can't be chance. How in God's name could somebody who wrote a book in 1970 be able to predict something that I do? That's because people from different star families do have traits. And so it is possible. So that was the logical mind, wasn't it, I think? So it is possible to be quite logic, but to understand that there is a logic to the way that planets give off energies. So, okay, I've done two questions in one.
Well, that's kind of tied things up, and we're kind of at the end of things.
Oh, go on, you get another one in. You can get another 4 minutes. Come on.
Another four minutes. All right. Yeah, we're talking about Virgos. So are you saying then that Virgos are reptilians because they have a thing, or is there a one-to-one correspondence?
This is what's called playing devil's advocate.
I don't know.
I've got
4 minutes. Is it like, I mean, is there a correspondence of actual races to DNA strands, to astrological signs, to numerical sequences of 1 to 12? You know, do you get my drift, don't you?
I do. The answer is no. But the point is, depending on the soul in your body and the type of physical body you have and the strength of connection that you had at the moment of birth will dictate whether you are very energetically connected or more loosely connected. So that's why people who do readings want to know exactly when you were born, so they can predict and go back and look at the planets and stars to see just what effect it had on you. No, you could be Aries or Gemini and be a reptilian. You could be Virgo and be a Palladian. So it's not to do with that. However, just to really throw the curveball in here, I was told that I was always going to be born on the 7th, because 7 was an important number. So I was born on the 7th of September, and the funny story is that I said, well, actually, no, September is the 9th month, which it is when you count it through. And I was met with these blank looks, and they were saying, no, you were born on the 7th month. Said, no, September is 9 months in. And they again looked at me blankly and said, no, you were born on the 7th month because Sept is 7. So in my case, I was always going to be born on the 7th of September. I've given my birthday away now. But that meant that certain energies astrologically were going to be very prevalent. And for me, it's Mercury. And Mercury is a communicator. So I was born, and when I've had my star chart done, in fact, it was Freddie Lennon, John Lennon's father, his second wife, Pauline Lennon, who was a tremendous astrologer, and she did my astrology chart for me. And when she did it, she said, oh my goodness, or words to that effect, all of your signs are in the lower house, they're all at the bottom. So I had about three little things at the top of that chart they do, and everything else was at the bottom. And she said, this is incredible, I've never seen anything like this before. Mercury, it's the great communicator. This is really unusual. So anyway, there we go. We've used up the time. Thank you very much, JP. It's always lovely to speak to you, and thank you for the audience. The questions just get better and better, and it's such a lovely show. I'm really, really grateful to you, JP, for making it possible. And I'm really grateful to all the people out there who day in, day out, do ordinary jobs, try and make other people's lives better, and then have the time to write in a question and to help the show come along. So just thanks to everybody, really.
Excellent. It's been good, Simon. I'd just like to say to people on YouTube who listen to this, I don't have time or the space to really answer any questions. Simon has a website. All questions to Simon go through that website, whether it's backed up or not. You may not get an immediate response. That's because Simon's just too popular for his own staffing.
I may be popular there, but I tell you what, there's plenty of people in power. I am not on their birthday card or Christmas card list.
Oh, isn't that good?
Listen, God bless to everybody, and God bless to you, JP.
Good night.